Welcome to the weekly Aftera Parshas Nitzavim and Vayelech. This week is a double parsha, Nitzavim and Vayelech. Although we usually choose the Haftarah of the second parsha, since this is the seventh and final week of the Shivat Mechemta, the 7 weeks of comfort after the Chorban, we use the seasonal Haftarah, which is the Haftarah of Nitzavim. After 6 weeks of comfort, Klal Yisrael finally declares, Sois Tosis Bahashem. I will rejoice with Hashem, finally accepting His consolation. The Navi continues, Togel nafshi balekai, ki bishani bigde yesha, mil tzedaka yotoni, ki choson yechayin per, v'chakala tadech eleha. I will wear the glorious clothing of a choson and the jewelry of a kala. The two names of Hashem are used here, the name Havaya, which represents Rachamim, and the name Elikim, which represents Din. Why mention Din here when Hashem is about to shower us with the greatest of brachas? Perhaps we can answer with a deeper understanding of Midas HaDin, which is very appropriate as we approach Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin. In Bilam's second bracha of Klal Yisrael b'Midbar, Perech Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Aleph, he says, Hashem Alekov Imoi, Usruas Melech Boi. Rashi explains this as meaning that the friendship of the king is with Klal Yisrael. This is one of the psukim that we say in Malchios during Musaf Rosh Hashanah, when we declare Hashem's melucha over the entire world. However, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, tells us that according to Rabbi Yossi, this same pasuk can also be used for shofaris, because trua refers to the trua sound of the shofar. And the Ramban and Bamidbar, Perek Yud Pasuk Vav, explains Trua alludes to Midas HaDin. How can the same Pasuk refer to both, to the friendship and the closeness of the Melech, and at the same time to Din? Perhaps the answer can be found in Parshas Ki Savai. When a person finishes separating and distributing all of his Truma Meiser, he declares before HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has fulfilled the mitzvah completely, without leaving out even the smallest detail. He then asks the Kodesh Baruch Hu for a bracha, saying in Dvarim, Parachav Vav, Pasik Tes Vav, Hishkifa Mimoyim Kachacha, Min Hashemayim Uvarech Es Amcha Es Yisrael. Look down from your holy dwelling placed in Shemayim, and give a bracha to your nation, Klal Yisrael, and to the land you have given us. The Kli Yoker quotes a midrash that points out that whenever the expression Hishkifa is used, is generally has a negative connotation. Hashkafa means looking closely at something, noticing every small blemish and every flaw. That is Midas HaDin, which examines every action of a person with exacting precision. Normally, it is dangerous to invoke Midas HaDin because it would highlight every flaw that a person has. Here, however, it is safe to invoke Midas HaDin because the schus of Matnas Aniyim, the gifts given to the poor, protects the person. But there is still an obvious question. Even if it's safe to invoke Midas HaDin, why would we want to invoke it at all? The answer is that the world was originally created with Midas HaDin. As Rashi explains at the beginning of the Torah in Bereishis Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, although Midas HaDin demands an immediate and harsh punishment for even a minor wrongdoing, it also demands an enormous reward for even the smallest good deed. Usually it is too dangerous for us to live purely with the parameters of Midas HaDin. So Hashem joins Midas HaRachamim to it. Midas HaRachamim delays punishment, but it will also delay the full reward for mitzvahs. With the schus of Matnas Aniyim, however, we are able to ask for a bracha on the level of Midas HaDin without worrying about the danger normally associated with that midah. In a similar way, when Hashem comforts us and brings Mashiach, we will be able to rejoice in the tremendous brachas that will come, because even Midas HaDin itself will become a conduit entirely for bracha. Hashem then declares that He will no longer remain silent for Tziyah and Yerushalayim until its glory shines forth. L'man Tziyah in lo yechasha, u'l'man Yerushalayim lo yeshkoit, ad yetze kanoida k'tzitzaka, sitka, Yishuasa klapid yivar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoiced over us like a chasen rejoiced over a kala. U'mistois chasen ha'kala yosis alayich elekoyich. The pasuk is very famous because we use it in the Chadoidi. Yosis alaych alekayich kimsus chasen akala. We also find a minig to read this after during the week of a wedding because it discusses the joy of a chasen akala. This minig is brought by the Ramah at the end of Siman 428. The Radak points out that just as the joy of a chasen akala is a fresh and new happiness, so too our joy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be fresh and new. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he has appointed guards on the walls of Yerushalayim who will never remain silent. The Gemara in Menachos identifies these guards as Malachim on Daf 87 Amud Aleph, who daven for Yerushalayim. After the Chorban, they say, Atasokim Terachim Sion. Arise and have mercy on Sion. While the Migdash stands, they say, Kivachar Hashem B'tzion, Iva L'moish of Loi. Hashem chose Sion and desired it as a dwelling place. The Mashar makes an amazing observation. After the battle with the Moloch, Moshe said in Shemois, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasik Tazayin, Ki Yod Al Kes Ka. Rashi explains that Hashem's name cannot be complete, and his throne cannot be complete until a Moloch is destroyed. The name of HaKadosh Baruch is missing the letter Vav and He, while the word for throne, Kisei, is written Kes, missing the Aleph. This symbolizes the idea that Hashem's glory is not completely recognized in this world as long as a Moloch continues to exist. The Mashar points out that this is hinted in the word Iva, he desired it. The word contains precisely those three missing letters, Aleph, Vav, and Hey. Hashem promises that our enemies will no longer loot our food and wealth. The Navi then says, Soilu Soilu Hametzila, Saklu Me'even. Remove the stones from the road so that the returning exiles will have a smooth path on which to travel. Targan Yoinusim ben Azil explains, this is an exhortation to the tshuva, to do tshuva, to clear away the obstacle of the Yetzara. Now the Navi describes an amazing vision. Who is this coming from Edom with stained clothing from Batsra? Navi continues, why is your clothing red like someone who has trampled in a winepress? The Gemara Masechtas Makos, Daf Yud Beis Amar Alf explains that Hashem will come to destroy the Malach of Edom, who is also the Satan and the Malach of Moves. It will flee to Boitzra, thinking that the protection of an Ir Meklat will save it. But it will make three mistakes the Gemara brings down. First, it will confuse Betzer, which actually is an Ir Meklat, with Boitzra, which is a different city. Second, an Ir Meklat protects only someone who kills unintentionally, not deliberately. And third, an Ir Meklat protects a human being and not a Malach. Hashem will pursue it there and utterly destroy it. The Navi describes this with the image of a mighty warrior whose clothing is spattered with the blood of the enemy he has defeated. Rashi explains that Hashem will destroy this Malach with Schus Avos, together with the Schus of Darish Shmad, those generations who were killed and tortured to death for remaining faithful to the mitzvahs. The Navi concludes, remembering all the chesed that Hashem has showed us in the past. Chaste Hashem Azkir, Tehilois Hashem. Kal kol asher gamalanu Hashem. The Radak explains that we recall all the kindness Hashem has done for us in the past, even when we did not deserve it, in order to strengthen our faith that He will redeem us in the future. The pasuk then says, "Bechol sarasam loitzar." The Gemara in Tainis Daf Yud Mates Zayin Amar Aleph notes that the word is read loy lamet vav with a vav, as if to say that when Klai Yisrael suffers, Hashem himself, Loi, so to speak, shares in that pain. And perhaps this is the ultimate nechama. The Navi is telling us that even during the darkest periods of Galus, we're never truly alone. Hashem shares in our suffering, Loi, Lamed Vav, just as He has shown us kindness throughout our history. We have complete faith that He will ultimately bring the final Geula. I want to bring down a thought on the upcoming Yom Narayim from my Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Reis Mishlita. Rabbi Reisman pointed out that we're living through an extraordinarily turbulent period. For many of us, certainly one of the most turbulent periods that we have ever experienced. He shared something that he saw from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Emes Li Yaakov on Nach, Chelek Beis, page Kuf Pei Veiz. where Rabbi Yaakov records the hesped that he gave in 1934 after the passing of the Chofetz Chaim. Rabbi Yaakov says the following. We know that the Chofetz Chaim did a tremendous amount with an eye towards Mashiach. Many of us Sfarim focused on Mashiach. The Kailash Kachim was focusing on preparing for Mashiach. He wrote the Kute Halachais, which deals with halachas that will become relevant when Mashiach comes. Even in Shmiras HaLashon, he speaks constantly about how guarding oneself from Lashon Hara brings Mashiach closer. The simple understanding is that the Chofetz Chaim focused so much on Mashiach because we want Mashiach to come. We want to create chusim so that Mashiach should come. And this is certainly true, but Rabbi Yaakov added something else. He explained that the Chofetz Chaim cared deeply about Klal Yisrael and wanted Yidden to live properly according to the demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of that obligation is Sepisa LeYeshua. A Yid is supposed to live his life hoping for the Yeshua. Whether Mashiach comes now or later, whether he comes very soon or not, we do not know. But one thing we do know, every Yid is supposed to be Metzapa LeYeshua. Every Yid is supposed to have a real and active desire for Mashiach to come. Rabbi Yaakov explains this was one of the great purposes behind what the Chofetz Chaim was doing. He wanted to demonstrate that everything connected to Mashiach is lemaisa. It is practical. It is real. It is something we're supposed to prepare for. That is why I encourage people to learn Kachim. Because he wanted Klal Yisrael to become a people who truly mitzapel Yeshua, people who generally want Mashiach to come. Rabbi Reisman then relates a fascinating story that Rabbi Yaakov brings about his good friend, Rabbi Dov Leibowitz, the nephew of the Chofetz Chaim. Rabbi Dov Leibowitz was preparing to leave Radin to go to the famous Koil of Kovna in Lithuania. Koil of Kovna was one of the premier Koilim in Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yaakov himself learned there. A person would generally learn there for 5 years and then go out and find a shteller. Before leaving, Rabbi Dov Leibowitz went to take leave of his uncle, the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim told him, "You are a Koyin. You should stay here and learn Kachim." Rabbi Leibowitz responded that he needed to learn Hilchas Shabbos. His argument was very logical. When Mashiach comes, a person will have to know when he is obligated to bring a Karma Chatos. To know that, you first have to know whether a particular act of Chilchas Shabbos is deraiso or whether it is obligated or whether obligates a carbon or not. So he argued, "I'm also preparing for Mashiach by going to learn Hilchas Shabbos." The Chofetz Chaim responded, "Al ze yesh kvar Mishnah Brura. For that, I already wrote a Mishnah Brura." It's a fascinating response. Rabbi Yaakov points out that throughout Mishnah Brura, the Chofetz Chaim very often makes a point of clarifying whether halacha is deraisa or derabanan. At first glance, why is that distinction so critical? Nowadays, we keep both deraisa and derabanans. But the Chofetz Chaim wanted the Mishnah Brura to contain the information Klal Yisrael would need when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. A Korban Chatas is brought only for certain violations of an Issa Deraisa. So even the Mishnah Berurah was written in part with her preparation for Mashiach in mind. Rebbe said that this point from Yaakov was a Chiddush to him. We naturally understand that the Chofetz Chaim taught Kachim and spoke constantly about Mashiach in order to create Tzchusim, so Mashiach could come. That's true. But he also wanted people to be Metzapel Yeshua. He wanted Yidden to actively desire Mashiach. Rabbi Yaakov writes that the Chofetz Chaim felt that Emunah in Mashiach had weakened, and therefore he wanted to make the reality of Mashiach tangible to Klal Yisrael. As we enter the Yom Noroyim, when so much of our tefillah focuses on Malchus Shemayim, perhaps this is one of the areas we should focus on. We should work on becoming Metzapel Yeshua. As the Rambam teaches, the desire for the Gula is ultimately about Kavod Shemayim, when we want a world in which Hashem's Malchus is openly recognized. Rebbe added a very practical suggestion. The second paragraph of Aleinu begins, "V'al kein the kavacha Hashem alakeinu, li rois meheiro v'severus uzecha." For those who daven Nusach Ashkenaz, it begins, "V'al kein the kavacha," without the Vav. It is a beautiful paragraph, and what are we saying? We are talking about the coming of Mashiach, the kavacha. We hope, we wait, we look forward to the Gula. Rebbe suggested that the second paragraph of Aleinu, maybe we should say it a little more slowly. Say it with the old chant that you remember from grade school. Of course, there's barely enough time to say Aleinu anyhow, so perhaps it means taking an extra minute or two. But say it slowly. Think about the words, Mitzapi Yeshua. That is a beautiful focus to carry with us as we approach Rosh Hashanah. not only to believe that Mashiach will come, but to actually want it, wait for it, and live with the hope of Al Kein Nekavacha Hashem Elokeinu, Lirois Mehera, B'Seferes Uzecha. Have a wonderful Shabbat.